Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
I thank you guys for all of your good-naturedness, rolling with the punches, and I haven't, through all the things as I'm learning, have not seen any rolling eyes, I have not heard any heavy sighs, have not anything like that. Well, no, I'm not counting you. But I just...
Where are you going to roll them?
Roll them down the hallway.
I
thank you guys for being able to roll with the punches and being okay with me learning as we go.
We're all old enough to realize that you have to laugh a lot in life.
That is for sure. Well, if you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, we'll go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 20. As I often say, and I know you guys have all in here heard this so many times, but I feel the need to repeat it as often as possible. If you do not have a Bible, or if you need a Bible, please come see me after the service. We will work at getting one into your hands. We can get Bibles. We have Bibles. We can replace Bibles, whatever it looks like. The most important thing, getting God's word into everybody's hands. And especially as a church family, as believers, you guys need to be reading the word. And if you don't have access to that, we will get you access to that. So, all right. So Luke chapter 20, Jesus is in Jerusalem. Finally, it took him 10 chapters to get there. Cause you know, that correlates exactly to a time frame. But it took him 10 chapters and he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's in Jerusalem for the last week of his life. He's doing this last week in our time, the passage we looked at last week, Jesus flexed his power and his authority. He cleared the temple and he rebuked those who were turning the temple from a house of prayer into a den of thieves. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the principled men of the people, as Luke says, they were trying to get Jesus. They were trying to get rid of him. They were trying to stop him from doing what he was doing. And they were trying to end him. But they didn't have the chance or the opportunity in that passage to grab him because the people all around him were hanging on his every word. It would not have gone well for them if they had tried to do something to Jesus right then. But they knew where he was going to be. They knew where he was. He had been teaching in the temple during the event we looked at last week, and he would be teaching in the temple throughout the next couple of days. The temple would have been the central hub. It would have been where all teaching took place. It would have been where all those social gathering type events would take place. That would have been well known that that's where Jesus would have been. And so they knew where to confront Jesus. They knew that he was going to be there. And that leads us straight into this morning's passage, Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. Grab your preferred translations, follow along as we read the word of God. Luke 20, 1 through 8, the Holy Spirit inspires Luke to record. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who is it that gave you this authority?" And he answered them, "I also will ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." May God bless the reading of his word. So, Jesus was teaching, and on one of the days he was teaching, he was there at the temple, Just like everyone knew he would be, he was there. He was teaching God's truth, and he was preaching the gospel. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders, these guys that were looking for Jesus, they came to confront him. And they did so with the looking at asking him a question. And they wanted to do it in front of all the crowd and the hangers-on and everybody. And they wanted everyone to hear Jesus' answer. Because no matter what his answer, no matter what he said to this question, they had him right where they wanted him to be. It was going to be a bad thing for Jesus, according to the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, all those guys. It was going to be bad for Jesus no matter what he said. And so they said, tell us by what authority you do these things, or who is it that gave you the authority? They came to Jesus basically like, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? What gives you the right? And who gave you the authority? Who do you think you are? And they're asking specifically about the events of the temple, which would have been very, very recently, clearing out the money changers in the cellars. But they're also asking in terms of his whole ministry. There's a reason they had gotten to this point. They've been trying to trap him in these questions for quite a while. They will continue to try to trap him as we see going forward in the next chapter or two. And so they were asking about that. And if they were asking this question out of pure curiosity, if they were genuinely curious, then it would have been a valid question. If you were a believer and you have questions about God, about Jesus, he's okay with you asking them. He welcomes those questions. And so if that's what they would have been doing, there would be no scripture here because there wouldn't have been an event to record. They would have asked and Jesus would have answered. And it's a question that we actually all need to answer for ourselves at some point. Who is Jesus? Where is his authority? Who is his authority? What has given him that authority? These guys say, Jesus, you're doing all these miracles. You're healing all these people. You're clearing the temple. You're teaching this crazy, previously unheard of things. Where are you getting all this? And their idea was that if he says, so they knew he was claiming authority. They knew, we had already seen, that they said Jesus got his power from Beelzebub, essentially from Satan. So we know that they recognized that Jesus had power. They recognized that Jesus had some kind of authority. In Mark's gospel, they and the people marveled at Jesus because he spoke as one with authority. He just sounded different from who they were used to hearing. Not only was his teaching different, the content of it, but the way that he was teaching. Rabbis in that day, they appealed to previous rabbis, to greater rabbis. That was their authority. When they were teaching, it's like when I will quote somebody, a commentary or something like that, but that was what all of their teaching was. Rabbi so-and-so says this is what that means. Pastor Rabbi says, but this is an exception to that. Rabbi so-and-so says, this is what God is saying in this. But Rabbi so-and-so says that he's wrong. That's their teaching, is Rabbi this and Rabbi that. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, I'm telling you, this is what God says. I'm telling you, this is what God's word means. God, I am telling you. And so he was claiming an authority. So they ask him, where is your authority from? Because if he says his authority is from heaven, he's not appealing to previous rabbis, then he has no right to be in the temple. He has no right to be overcoming the people. Or if he says he has no authority, if he says he's not given authority from anybody, that he has taken his own authority, then he has no right to be there teaching and to counteract the previous rabbis and so on. If he says that God gave him that authority, well, then that's blasphemy. Or it would be if it wasn't true. And to them, they're saying it's not true. So that would be blasphemy. That would be a charge that they were able to bring against him. That would end up being the charge that they bring against him later on. But so they knew that no matter what his answer, they had him. And if he says he has no authority, that's going to start chipping away at public opinion. That's going to start the public support. So they knew he was claiming some authority. They knew he wasn't a nobody. That's one of the big things. But they weren't ready to acknowledge who he was. They weren't ready to acknowledge by whose authority he spoke and acted on behalf of. They were trying to discredit him. They were trying to get him to blaspheme himself, or they were trying to get him to say that he was not a credible teacher. And Jesus knew that they weren't going to accept any answer he gave. They were looking for those negative answers, and they were not going to take any other answer. So he didn't answer them. Even upon hearing the truth, we know Romans 1 says that we all, in our unrighteousness, suppress the truth. So basically Jesus says, since you're not going to listen to me anyway, you're not going to hear the truth in my answer, I'm going to answer your question with another question. He confronts them right back. He says, John's baptism, meaning John's ministry as a whole, not just the physical act of baptism, but John's baptism. Was it from heaven and therefore from God? Or was it from man? And was he doing it on his own? That same question you're asking me, where am I getting my authority? I'm asking you about John. Where did he get his authority? Well, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, and all of them, they had to discuss this. So I picture them taking a little break. Hold on just a minute. Let's go over here. Huddle up. Everybody get together. Now, they weren't discussing it in order to discover the truth. They were doing it to try to figure out and to coordinate their answer. They weren't answering based on truth, but instead they were discussing how to get out of answering this question because of how the people would react. Now, I was originally going to say that they were trying to give a politically correct answer, but I don't think that's accurate in the way it's used today. Today, political correctness is all things right and permissible. It's used for all things are valid and true. It's also used that there might be a right or wrong, true and untrue, but you don't say anything because it would be offensive. That's what society uses as political correctness today. Historically, for politicians and leaders, even as recently as, I'd say, 10 years ago, this was giving the answer that the majority wanted you to give, no matter what you actually believed. It was giving the politically correct answer, the answer that was correct politically. Didn't matter what the truthful right was or the moral right was. It didn't matter what any of that was. It was what was right politically. Check the polling before I answer that question. Will this answer cost me votes or supporters? I don't care what's right, just what'll keep me elected or in power. Yeah. It's not about any of these other things. It's what do I need to answer here to get the people on my side? And so in that sense of the word, the scribes, the elders, the Pharisees, they were looking for the politically correct answer. What answer can we give that will keep us out of the most trouble? What answer can we give that will prevent these people from stoning us to death? Doesn't matter what the truth is, what answer can we give right now? And their dilemma was this. If they said John's ministry was from heaven, that it was from God, then why didn't they believe him? Why didn't they submit to him? Why didn't they listen to him? Most succinctly, why didn't they acknowledge that authority when he was here? If they say John's ministry and baptism were from man, then they're in real deep trouble. Because first, I suspect they know that's not true. I suspect they knew exactly who John's ministry was from. And second, the people who were around, the common people, they had repented and were baptized by John. They believed his ministry was from heaven. So if the chief priests, elders, and all of them, if they discounted John's ministry, the people were going to turn against them and kill them. I believe the other part of the reason they couldn't admit that John's ministry was from heaven is what was John doing in his ministry? Yes, he was getting people to repent and be baptized, but who was he pointing to? He was pointing to the Messiah. And he publicly testified of Jesus as being that Messiah, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. So if they would admit that John's ministry was from heaven, was from God, then they would have to listen to John saying, and this is the guy, this is the Messiah, this is the Christ. And that would throw out all their intentions on coming against Jesus. So they couldn't say his answer or his ministry was from heaven. They couldn't give credence to it, couldn't say it was from God. And they couldn't say it was just from man, that he was just some guy. They couldn't give an answer. What they were trying to do to Jesus, Jesus had done to them. And so they refused to answer. They showed themselves as cowards. They refused to stand on or for the truth. Whether it was the truth, that John's baptism was from heaven, or their own truth, which is no truth at all, that John's baptism was from man. They refused to stand for anything. We talked about this recently. As much as we want everyone in here and everyone we know, everyone that visits here and all of our family, all of our friends, we want everybody to know and to believe in Jesus Christ. We want everyone we know to be at a Bible-teaching, gospel-believing church on Sunday morning. But if you don't know Christ, if you are not a believer, if you are not yet at that point, don't fake it. Don't pretend. If you don't believe in something, be honest about that unbelief. Stand up for it. Yes, be willing to hear new information, to hear new evidence, to have a discussion, to be open. But don't lie about what you believe, and don't fake belief in something you don't believe. Right. Doesn't do anybody any good, most of all yourselves. So that's what these men were doing. That's what these guys were doing. I'm not going to say I believe in this. I'm not going to say I don't believe in this, because one way or the other, I'm going to be in trouble. So I'm just going to not say anything. They refused to give Jesus an answer for his question, and so Jesus refuses to answer theirs. Now, he didn't refuse to answer them simply because they didn't answer. It wasn't a quid pro quo. It wasn't a, well, fine, you didn't answer mine. I'm not going to answer yours. No, Jesus didn't answer them because of he refused to answer them because they already knew the answer. Their inability, or maybe more accurately, their unwillingness to answer was a view into their heart. Jesus knew that they knew the answer, and he knew that they wouldn't listen. Jesus refused to answer them because their hearts were hardened. Jesus refused to answer them because the veil had not been lifted from in front of their eyes. He refused to answer them because they had not yet been brought from death to life. There was no point in answering them because they were not going to hear it. If these men had asked and had approached Jesus and they were genuinely seeking him and they were truthfully curious, Jesus would have answered them in a heartbeat. Don't misunderstand this. Jesus doesn't turn anyone away who's genuinely seeking him. He doesn't turn away anyone who turns to him, anyone who trusts in him, regardless of their questions or their doubts. You come to him with a question like this, any question, and you are genuinely, truthfully seeking, Jesus, help me understand. Jesus, please, I need to know. He might not give you the answer you're looking for, but he's not going to turn anyone away. That's because in order to seek him, in order to be searching after him, he already has to have been calling you, and he knows the end result of that. Your heart has to already have been changed in order for you to be seeking and responding to Jesus. And in that case, he's not going to give up on you no matter what. But to those who callously or half-heartedly search for answers, more accurately, searching for answers that confirm their own understandings, those who lean on their own understandings, those whose ways seem right to man, those who are suppressing the truth and their unrighteousness, don't expect Jesus to answer your tests and your challenges. Instead, pray. If you don't know God, if you think that you are seeking, if you think that you're searching for answers, if you think these things, pray. Pray to God to change your heart. Pray to God to open up your eyes. Pray to God to lift the veil. Pray to God to bring you out of death and into eternal spiritual life. And pray to God to change your heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Pray to be adopted into God's family as one of the children of God. This is what we should be praying for ourselves if we don't know God, and that is what we should be praying for all of those around us that don't know God. Amen. Pray that they would become one in Christ. If you don't know him, pray that you would find forgiveness and freedom in Christ. That you would find everlasting rest in Christ, and that you would find a family, a church family, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are asking these questions, trying to poke, trying to prod, trying to start arguments, trying to find contradictions, trying to prove wrong the Bible or Christianity, God's not going to indulge you. He's just not. And we see example after example of Jesus showing us this in his Gospels. They go, they ask, they test. And he completely flips the script on them. He doesn't answer them. He answers them a different question. The answer to the question is the same as the question he asked back. Who did John get his ministry from? Was it from heaven or was it from man? You're asking me. Who, as Jesus is saying, you're asking me, where do I get my ministry from? Is it from heaven or from man? I just gave you the answer. In that question, if you would answer that question truthfully, it's the same answer. So I've already given you the answer. You just can't see it. And so if that's what you're trying to do, God's not going to indulge you. He's already given all of us enough truth to see. But if you have questions, if you have doubts, if you have concerns, if you have heartbreak, if you have struggles, if you have these things, if you hear these other people poking and prodding and asking these questions, trying to challenge God, and it brings up questions in you, go to God. Ask him that question. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a valid thing to go to him with. We've seen that in the scriptures. We've seen that in Luke's, in our series through Luke. It's not to don't ask God questions. That's not the point of this or any of those other passages. The point is, where is your heart? Point is, what is your purpose? Point is, what are you trying to do with those questions? And so we leave with the question, where has Jesus gotten his authority from? Who has given him his authority? The answer is from God himself. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. His ministry is from heaven above. He is bringing heaven down to earth. And he is going to recreate the world into the new heavens and the new earth. And he is doing it as the Son by his Father's authority. And if we believe that and we see what he has done, that we get to be a part of that new heaven, that new earth, because we are forgiven, that we are clothed in his blood, that he shed his blood for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our justification, and that we are to go and try to do the same, to live the life he has modeled for us, to live the life he has called us for, and to pray and to share this good news with those around us so that they can see this truth as well, so that they change from asking, who do you think you are? To Jesus, you are God. That is what he is calling us to do. And that is where our heart needs to be. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought us out of death and into life. That you have answered our questions. That you have revealed yourself to us. That you have shown where you have gotten your authority and who you are. I pray and I believe that everybody in this room knows that, and they have trusted in you and they are resting in you. I pray for everybody that walks through these doors on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, once in their lifetime, whatever, that everybody that walks through these doors would either know you or come to know you as a result of seeing the truth of Scripture. Jesus, we pray for those around us in our lives, our families, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, whoever, that they would come to see who you are and that they would change their heart, change the way they ask questions of you and seek you and your truth. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for weeks like this, that we can praise you and worship you and enjoy you and laugh at things not going right and lift up our prayers to you. Amen. That you are God
You are a God who hears, a God who listens, and a God who answers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.